From the street, it doesn't look like much. On one side, a privacy fence contains overgrown weeds that resemble mounds of green and yellow spaghetti. On the other side, rows of white and gray houses. Cars whoosh by.
There's an old railroad bed that runs through there.
That's Terry Whaley, executive director of Ozark Greenways. He says the organization first acquired this land years ago and figured,
someday we said we'll turn it into a trail.
But they soon discovered that turning it into a trail wouldn't be necessary. The land was already a trail, and one with incredible historical significance.
That property was right in alignment with the Cherokee Trail of Tears as it was routed through Springfield. So this has become our Trail of Tears project.
In all, 9 states sit along the Trail of Tears National Historic Trail, part of the National Park Service, which turns 100 this year. The trail itself dates farther back. Following President Andrew Jackson's Indian Removal Act in 1830, Native Americans were forced to leave their homes in the east and complete a grueling trip west to present-day Indian Territory. Roughly 4,000 died during the trip, and their long and hard journey is now remembered as the Trail of Tears. Cherokee traversed through parts of what is now Greene County by way Stratford, and then continued southwest across present-day Highway 65 and toward what would later become Wilson's Creek National Battlefield.
They were through here in 1838 in December, the last couple.
Whaley, along with Jackie Werfel, chairman of the Greene County Historic Sites Board, showed me around 2 of the trail beds in Springfield. Both are owned by Ozark Greenways. The previously mentioned trail, off of Marcella and Golden, has been designated by the National Park Service as the first National Historic Trail to come across Greene County. As the 3 of us began walking the trail, our feet sink slightly into the natural wood chip covered turf.
We've never planned from the beginning that we would come in here and put down concrete or asphalt. It's not going to be a bicycle like our running path. I mean, you can run on it, obviously, but the idea is to interpret the native experience as closely as possible.
Werfel explained that, preceding the Trail of Tears journey, the government separated Native Americans into 13 groups called detachments.
There were about 1,000 people on each one. There were 13 detachments. Roughly 7 or 8 went through here.
Each detachment had a conductor, a doctor, a burial committee, and those who traveled ahead of the group to build warming fires. Werfel estimates that natives traveled about 10 to 12 miles a day, their route determined by water availability. As we stand on the trail, I'm suddenly startled back into present day by the sound of a dog. A man walks by with his dog eagerly pulling its lead. Werfel smiles.
We find that once these get open, that the people in the neighborhoods like them. They're a lineal park.
Since the trail cuts through and behind neighborhoods, people who lived close by worried about trespassing or that the trail would be a liability.
They found out that it was a real asset. Be able to take your kids out your backyard, and you've got a controlled park for them to play in. It's a great deal of pride of ownership.
Pride of ownership may also result from community involvement, Whaley adds.
The trail we're walking on was an Eagle Scout project. We had them cut in the grade, put down the wood chips, they planted the trees and the shrubs here and installed the fence.
As we walk to where the fence ends, the sound of our footsteps change. It's the only concrete portion of the trail. Here, right off the edge of the road, a local artist named Christine Schilling created a mosaic on the concrete. It's the Trail of Tears emblem, surrounded by footprints.
It's 2 adult footprints, a parent, a mother and a father, and then a baby or a child following. And then you see the baby's disappeared, so mother's picked it up and then went a few feet and then set it back down.
Whaley says the art helps tell the trail's story. And telling that story as accurately as possible is one of the main goals of Ozark Greenways.
So we're threading today's route as close as we can to the original route.
This also means leaving room for reinterpretation as research continues. In order to communicate the historical significance of the trail, informational signs and kiosks are placed at the trail entrances. The information includes historical context as well as a map of the trail route through Greene County. Due to new findings by the Center for Archaeological Research, the alignment of the map shown will need to be altered slightly.
But that happens in historical interpretation.
But neither Werfel nor Whaley appear upset about the change. In fact, they seem excited.
History is constantly changing and being reinterpreted, hopefully for more accuracy.
Even if the trail alignment will change slightly, both agree that there's one thing that won't change: the emotional experience of walking it.
When you walk it, you will feel it.
I
guarantee you this. I have not had anybody on this trail or that one that didn't feel.
Werfel looks at the ground. The tragedy, she says, is to forget that the Indians were just people, like you and me. The Remember the Removal annual 950-mile bike ride along the trail aims to avoid that. Werfel explains that as grueling and sad as the Trail of Tears story is, each trail marker, like those in Greene County, exists so that we will never forget and to prevent a repeat of history. For KSMU's Sense of Community series, I'm Catherine Utzler.